welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. Please enjoy the following message.
I feel so blessed to be here. Thank you so much for having us. My name is Rowena Schuster. I am from our Every Nation Church in Auckland, New Zealand. We have two churches there, actually, one in Central and one in South Auckland called Every Nation Southside. And so that's where I'm from. Pastor Nelly asked me to bring a kind of like an update about what's going on with us in New Zealand, just so that you guys are aware that you guys are part of a much, much, much bigger body of the part of the body of Christ. And so Every Nation Southside, I'll introduce you to our team, okay? So our team, we have a huge team of five. And so these are the first two members of our team. These are our kids, Joey and Maya. They're at every staff meeting, they're at every worship practice, they're at either one thinks that he plays the drums and the other one plays Minecraft during rehearsals. This is my husband Ulu. He's been here a few times, so I think some of you may have seen him before. He wanted me to say, he texted me and said, make sure you tell everyone I said hi and that I'm really looking forward to coming in a couple weeks. So we're coming back in a couple weeks for our holiday. And so he'll be speaking sometime in the near future. So hello from him. And we couldn't do anything that we'd, because we're just a bunch of jokers in our in our family. But the one who really helps us to make everything happen is Luti Richards, who actually came to help me to look after Nellie's kids this weekend. So praise the Lord that she came, because this morning we were looking for shoes. We were looking for something that didn't look like I'm homeless clothes for the children. Oh, Lord, I think we grew a little bit closer to the Lord during that time of just crying out to God, Lord, where are these things? But we all are here and we all kind of look halfway decent. That's our team. Where are we based? We're based in South Auckland. South Auckland is a pretty big place, but we meet in Papatoa, which is kind of like bang smack in the middle of Manukau City, which is what we call South Auckland. Because you guys have heaps of mics. Well, we have heaps of names for our city. So one of the names is Manukau City. That's a little bit about the population. And I don't know why it doesn't add up to 100. 60, 80. Oh, it does now. Last time I looked, it didn't add up to 100. Because you guys got heaps of mics, so we got extra. It does? Oh, it doesn't. Okay, we'll work on that one, and hopefully in 2 weeks when we come back. Oh, we're missing 5% extra. Just wanted to bring you a little bit extra this Sunday. Okay, so why do we do what we do in Every Nation Southside? We want to honor God and make disciples. We're interested in reaching South Auckland, because there's a whole bunch of different diverse groups of people in South Auckland. We want to reach the South Pacific, which is all of Australia, all the Pacific Islands, and we want to reach the world. And so it's just a couple of highlights that we've been, things that we've been up to in the last few months. We are really excited about our Reel ministry. You guys have Club Reel. I met some of your crazy students just a few minutes ago. We call it just Reel because I don't know why. But we have a Reel ministry which is based at the University of Auckland. These are some of our students during orientation week. Our students, we don't actually have a full-time campus minister whose only job is to run the campus. And so we are blessed to have many leaders, student leaders, and they run Reel on their own. And my husband Ulu and I just help make sure that they're not breaking the law or anything. But they are awesome. We're so excited. Hopefully we'll get to bring you guys over to see what we're doing with Reel and bring some of them over here to, because you guys are kind of crazy like they are. So I think you guys would get along really well. A couple of things that we're excited about also are we're planning to plant a church in Fiji in 2016 as part of our what we're trying to do in the South Pacific. We have sent already this January, we sent five of our best like most amazing people to go and get trained in the Philippines. So they're currently right now, and we always joke around about them because they do their assignments. They're at the School of World Missions, which is part of our Every Nation in the Philippines, run by them. They run an amazing program training up missionaries. So if any of you guys are feeling like you're called to full-time ministry, we have amazing resources and schools over there in the Philippines. These five crazy people are going to go and help to plant the church in Fiji. And so we've sent them, because we can't just send them and hope for the best, we sent them to go and get trained at our School of World Missions, even though they are some of our best people. And lastly, a couple months ago, we sent a few of our students who are part of a ministry called UV, which stands for Unleashing the Vault. And that's run by a couple of our leaders who basically they run a program after schools, and they work with high school students, usually Pacific Islanders who are maybe struggling a little bit at school, and they help them to really unleash the vault of their intelligence, because we're all created by God, right? So there's no dummies, there's no people who should be failing, no people who should be predisposed to failure. And so what Nadine and the team do is they work with these guys after school and help them to unleash their potential. And it's amazing some of the results that come out of this ministry. We get teachers actually going, what are you guys doing? Because now, you know, the naughty kids are turning into the prefects. And, you know, it's really amazing. And so in January of this year, they actually went to the Philippines to take part in a thing called Real Life, because we like that word real, right? Like real club, real. There's a ministry in the Philippines called Real Life, run by our church over there. And what they do is they work in the community. There's a lot of poverty there, a lot of children who don't get a chance to go to school because of finances, lack of finances, and just the situation that they're in. And so Real Life runs a feeding program. They run an education program, kind of like UV in Auckland. So they went over there and unleashed their havoc upon the Philippines. And so, yeah, that's just a little bit of what we're doing in Every Nation Southside. yeah. And so, you know, Pastor Ulu wanted me to just let you guys know, we are always thinking of you guys, Every Nation Brisbane. We're always thinking about you guys. We're always praying for you guys. Obviously, we're always in contact with Pastor Nelly, and he's letting us know what you guys are doing. And so we're always praying for you guys. So if you guys could pray for us too, that would be amazing. You guys pray for us as well? Oh, thanks. But yeah, so that's just what we're up to in Every Nation Southside. And so, oh, thanks. Thanks, Bianca. All right. Okay, so it's such an honor to get to speak to you guys today and bring the word. What I wanted to talk to you guys today about is worship, which kind of is fitting because we just spent about 30 minutes in worship. And so the title of what I wanted to talk about today is more than a song. So in other words, worship is more than a song. Sometimes when we think of the word worship, we think of, like, you know, the song list on your iPod, you know, oh, I had a bad day, I just need to worship. So you turn on your worship music and helps you to feel like getting in the mood, you know. Oh, Fred Hammond, praise the Lord. Oh, who is it here? Is it, well, who do you guys like? Planet Shakers, maybe? No? Hillsong, oh yes, should have known. Hillsong, awesome. You know, some people have song lists for, you know, going for their runs. You know, you know, when you go for your jogs, don't burn those calories. Some people have, you know, playlists for driving, slow jams for, you know, anyway, relaxing. You're relaxing, no? And so, I wanted to just talk about how worship is more than another playlist that we switch on when we want to feel close to God. I think, like, I was just in preparing for today, I was thinking about worship, and I was thinking that worship is something that naturally happens when someone is in relationship with God. It's not necessarily a song that we sing or even a position that you take, you know, kneeling down, is this worship? Or, you know, praying and speaking in a UK accent to sound more holy. You know, that's not necessarily what worship is. The songs that we sang just now, I think, are just really amazing. All of those songs, I didn't know, but when I heard those lyrics, when the team was practicing this morning, I was just thinking, man, what beautiful lyrics. You know, draw me a little bit closer, take me a little bit deeper. Those songs were written as an expression from someone's heart in worship to God. You know, someone who was in a relationship with God, and this is what came out of their heart as an overflow of their relationship with God. And you know what? We're not all called to be songwriters. You know, sometimes when what comes overflowing out of your heart isn't necessarily that poetic or artistic, you know. We weren't all called to be songwriters, but we are all called to be worshippers. I love the way that the Webster's Dictionary defines the word worship, and it says, worship is to honor with extravagant love and extreme submission. Really like that word, extreme. My husband, he's like an extreme kind of sports guy, like surfing and skating, and he used to actually go bike riding with Norm, you know, back in the days when they were less than the age that they are now. You know, they used to go bike riding down Queen Street, and they would never ride past like a bus stop, you know, those bus stop chair thingies. They wouldn't just ride past it. They had to ride on it, jump over it, you know, go thunk, 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 you know, extreme. And that to me is extreme, you know, because it's like people who do things extreme don't do things the normal way that other people do it. And so that word is used in the description to talk about worship in the dictionary. It's in the dictionary, so it must be true. To honor with extravagant love and extreme submission. And so the goal for what I wanted to talk to you guys today about is for us to know a little bit more about worship and how to worship God in every circumstance of our life. Not just in good times when everything's going our way and, you know, having a good day and the kids actually woke up when you told them to wake up, or, you know, you actually finished your assignment and handed it in before the clock struck 4 or whatever time your assignment was due. Not just on those good days when you just like, oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. You are amazing. Oh, step on the scales. Oh, yes, praise the Lord. It's a good day because I just cut my hair and had my tonsils out, so I've lost some weight, you know. Not just those days, but worshiping God in times when things aren't going our way, in times of weakness, in times of difficulty. And I wanted to talk about certain parts of the life of a guy named David in the Bible. So a lot of you probably have heard a lot about David or know some of the stories, but one thing that maybe isn't as talked about in the Bible, like we think of David, we think of like David and Goliath, we think of David and Bathsheba, you know, all of the epic kind of stories that you can make movies out of and they'd be like, whoa. But one thing about David is that he was actually a passionate worshiper all throughout his life. And we see this demonstrated in the book of Psalms, which is basically a book of worship songs that he wrote to God. Mostly he wrote. And so the Bible says in Isaiah that we were created for the glory of God. In other words, we were created to give honor and glory to God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The reason why we were created was to live a life of extreme submission, extravagant submission towards him. And there's a song, I don't know if you guys sing it, there's a song that we sing at Southside, and it's called I Was Created to Worship You. And it's so true. We were created to worship God. There's something in us. So, you know, we were created to worship. And so there's something within us, something in the way that we were designed, that craves to worship and adore something. No matter who you are or what you're interested in, what your hobbies are, whether you mean to or not, in your life you are worshiping something. You are giving your devotion to something. even if it is to just sit at home all day and watch TV, even if that's, you know, what basically you, no one in here, all the people out there, some of those guys, you know, maybe you sit at home all day and watch TV, that's your life. You are actually worshipping something because you're giving your devotion and your time and your efforts towards something. Some people choose to worship God. Some people choose to worship other things like careers, culture, money, sports, even things like their spouse, their kids, or celebrities. Notice that these are all kind of good things. These are all, you know, like, I mean, my spouse, I'm supposed to love him. My kids, I'm supposed to love them. Money, yeah, we need to have money in this society to survive, but these are all good things, but that's one thing that the enemy tries to make us do, is take good things and make them the ultimate thing to worship. And so I think that it's only fitting that we look at the life of David, because if there's anyone who found himself, he was king, he was rich, but he actually went through a lot of hard times. It's kind of like a rags to riches kind of story, David. You know, he was born into a family of 8 sons. He was the youngest. He was a shepherd sent out into the fields. And so, you know, the thing that kind of boosted him into celebrity status was when he was a young boy, some of his older brothers had gone to war. Some of you know the story. He had gone to take bread and cheese to them while they were at war. And while he was there, he killed Goliath. Goliath, who was the arch enemy of the Israelite army, who was practically, who had them shaking in their boots. They thought they were going to die. But little old David comes and kills Goliath. And so he becomes a hero, right? He's promoted to celebrity status in the blink of an eye. And everyone loves a hero. Who likes a hero? Man, I love heroes. I love those movies when the good guy wastes the bad guy. Like my husband knows, like when we watch, because I love action movies, right? And so if it's taking a while for the good guy to beat the bad guy, like say if the bad guy is a pretty good fighter and the good guy's like taking a while to beat him, I'm like, oh, come on. You know, oh, I don't like this movie. Far out. I wanted to mention one of my favorite movies growing up. This might be showing my age, but there was a movie that I really liked called Commando. And all the people with gray hair goes, oh. Or maybe they don't have gray hair because they do what I do. But anyway. So I really like this movie Commando because, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger, back when he was Arnold Schwarzenegger. So what happens, if you guys don't know, his daughter gets kidnapped, right, by these bad guys. And they fly her off to another place. And so, you know, he gets all mad and hero. And he just happens to be muscly. Just happens. And he goes and he robs those stores that sell like machine guns. And of course he takes like enough for a whole army. And then, you know, he goes and he kills everybody. Like he kills everybody. He has like that thing that goes, you know, blows up like half a village. There was no children in the village, just all bad guys. And so I've lost my place in this thing. And so, you know, he goes and gets his daughter. And just as he's coming out with his daughter, then the good guys come with their helicopters and all of their fancy uniforms. And they hop out, the commander hops out of the helicopter and he goes, did you leave anything for us? And then Arnold just walks past him, doesn't even stop to talk to him because he's too cool. And he walks past and goes, just bodies. And I'm like, oh, this is the best movie ever in the whole world. And so there was a holy point to that. So, you know, we make up heroes. You know, we have heroes in the movies, you know, and they're good looking, they got talents. You know, we see in the covers of magazines, you know, people that we make our heroes. I want to look like that. I want a bag like that. And we give so much status to these human beings who are talented, good looking, good at acting, good at singing, and it's great. But you know what? As I said before, we're all created to worship something. One thing that I believe strongly is that we, us as humans, were not meant to be worshipped. And, you know, I really feel for some of these celebrities who can't get a moment of privacy because, you know, they've got the paparazzi following them all around, you know. And a lot of them have a hard time. We read about it in the news, you know, someone's on drugs, someone's, you know, family's broken up, marriage is broken up. And I think it must be really hard to be a celebrity. And so, you know, coming back to the life of David, this must have been what he went through, you know, becoming, but actually he wasn't just good at acting and making movies. He was actually the just bodies guy, and like in real life, you know. He actually had saved his nation using his skill in fighting and being a warrior. And so the Bible says they actually wrote songs about him. They wrote songs about how he defeated all of these men. Like before David had killed Goliath, Saul was the hero. And King Saul was the one who they'd write songs about. But then all of a sudden they were writing songs about David, singing, Saul has killed his thousands, but David has killed tens of thousands, you know. And I'm like, man, imagine what that must have been like for Saul. And so basically what happened with David was Saul got so jealous of David that he decided that he wanted to kill him. And so, you know, I don't know if you guys are, but I have had the unfortunate experience of having someone not like me. I know, I mean, like, you know, how could you not like Rowena? Really? But, you know, it's pretty stink when someone doesn't like you, right? But it's actually even much, 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 much more stink when that person actually has the power to kill you and wouldn't get in trouble if they killed you, and they were actually the king of the country that you're living in, and they actually had a whole army behind them. That would be a big deal, right? And we think it's hard enough to have a person that doesn't like us. And so what David went through, he went through a whole bunch of really tough times in his life, one of them being the king was after him. And so this happened for a long time. The king was just chasing him with this army, trying to kill him. And so there were a couple of times in David's life that he was on the run in the desert, trying to get away from people who were trying to kill him. And so I wanted to read you guys a psalm, Psalm 63. And this is the title, it says in the Bible, is Psalm 63, written by David while he was in the desert of Judah. Because, you know, you just go to the desert to hang out, you know. But to give you the full picture of what the story behind him writing the song was, he was on the run night and day. And it wasn't just, oh my gosh, I'm here in Brisbane hiding and he's in Sydney, he's coming to get me. It wasn't like that. They were actually right on his tail. And he was hiding and fearing for his life. And it's like, there's a saying that goes, you want to know what's inside a tomato, you can step on it. And what comes out is what's inside the tomato. And it's kind of like us. It's real deep, eh? I think it might have been a Psalm 1 that came up, that proverb. You want to know, yeah, that's what it is. But I think it kind of talks about what happens when we get under pressure, you know? Like, say, I might be here trying to talk all Bible-y and fancy and Christian-y, but then if you really want to know what's inside me, is it all this Bible-y, Christian-y stuff that I'm talking about right now? Is that what's really inside me? You'll find out when I go through something hard. When life puts pressure on me, does worship come out or does other stuff come out? So think of the tomato thing. And so this is David. This is what comes out when life has applied tremendous pressure on him. Psalm 63, I'll read it to you because we like to provide a full service here at Every Nation Brisbane. It says, O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you. In a dry and parched land where there is no water, I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory, because your love is better than life. My lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live. and in your name I will lift up my hands. On my bed I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night, because you are my help. I sing in the shadow of your wings. I cling to you. Your right hand upholds me. Those who want to kill me will be destroyed. They will go down to the depths of the earth. They will be given over to the sword and become food for jackals. But the king will rejoice in God. All who swear by God will glory in him, while the mouths of liars will be silenced. So this is what came out of him when pressure, tremendous pressure was on him. Probably pressure that maybe none of us in this room have felt. That's what came out of him. Worship. A heart of worship. When you squeeze it, worship comes out. It's just like a real gripping story. That whole story. I'd encourage you guys to read it all in your own time. 1 Samuel 18, all the way to chapter 30. That's awesome. It's like a reading your own commando story. It's really amazing. So, you know, but we don't have time to go through that today. And so, this was just one time that David was in the desert, fearing for his life, on the run, and he wrote the song of worship to God. But as I mentioned before, he went through quite a few times of weakness, quite a few times of difficulty, but he had practiced and learned to go to God each time because he had good friends around him. You guys know about Jonathan, David's best friend, and it talks about the first time when Saul was chasing after him. The Bible says Jonathan went to him and helped him to find strength in the Lord. And so it's important for us to have friends around us that can encourage us and help us to find strength in God when we go through hard times. You know, sometimes, probably no one in here again, but, you know, other people, maybe at other churches, when bad things happen, sometimes we blame God. You know, my son, my eldest son, Maya, he told me this joke the other day, and he said, Mum, there was this guy who had an anniversary with his wife, and immediately when he said anniversary, I knew, bro, this guy doesn't know what this joke means. So he does, you know, what 10-year-old cares about anniversaries? Anyway, because, yeah, he had an anniversary with his wife, and then he stood up and did a speech in front of everybody, and he said, my wife, you've been with me since the beginning. You were there when I broke my leg. You were there when I was in a coma. You were there when I had an accident. You were there when I lost my job. And so now I've decided you're bad luck, and I'm leaving you. It's a joke. It didn't happen for real. Put the gun away. But, you know, isn't it funny how the one who is always there for us, helping us, giving us strength, sometimes we blame our stuff on him. And so, you know, I'm so grateful that we serve a God that isn't scared of hard times. He isn't scared, or he isn't worried when times look tough. You know, it's like, you don't know what to do. A situation, impossible situation has come up in your life. You go to God and go, God, what are we going to do? You know, God's not up there going, I don't know, what are we going to do? You know, God, he is the creator of peace, you know. There is nothing that he can't get us out of. And so here's a couple of points that I wanted us to remember on how we can worship God and find strength during times of weakness. So the first one, this is just 2 points that I found in the first verse of David's psalm that he wrote, Psalm 63. The first one is pursue God, not the promise. So how can we become Christians who, when you squeeze us, the right stuff comes out? And it comes out because that's what's inside of us. This is how we get to be like that. We pursue God, not his promises. And I love it how he says in verse 1, oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Sometimes we could put in, instead of you, we could say, Lord, my body longs for your blessing. My soul thirsts for your kindness, your provision. But here, David, he wants none of that. He's saying, I'm not after the provision. I'm not after the protection. He needed protection, right? He wasn't after that. He was after the one who gives him all of those things. And so, you know, when we have a close relationship with God, when we have tasted, I love the words of that song, you know, your love is the sweetest that I've ever tasted. You know, that language that David uses, it's craving language, you know. It's like, you know, I kind of have a moderate fondness for chocolate. Those of you who know me know it's a little bit more than moderate. But, you know, sometimes I'll find myself saying, oh, man, I really need some chocolate right now. I really feel like chocolate. And, you know, it's only because I've tasted chocolate, right? And I know what it tastes like, and I know that I like it because I remember what it tasted like last time I had it. And this is exactly what David is saying. You know, he's saying, I really crave after you, God. You know, my body thirsts for you. My soul longs for you, because he knows that the last time he was in trouble, that was the only thing that could satisfy his soul, was his relationship with his God. You know, you don't crave for stuff that you haven't tasted before. You know, I've never tasted caviar, or, you know, cause I prefer to go to the other restaurants that cost a little bit less, but I've never woken up one day saying, oh my gosh, I really need to have some caviar right now, because I've never tasted it. The idea of fish eggs. But, you know, if we taste and see that the Lord is good, we'll always know where to go. We'll always know where to go when times are good and when times are bad. The second point. So the first one is pursue God, not his promise. Yay, you're awake. The second point is to pursue relationship, not religion. And that's that I just, you know, from those first two words in that psalm, when he says, my God, you are my God. That's a possessive pronoun for all of you English people in the room. Basically, that means it's mine. It means relationship, right? You know, if I go up to my husband and I grab his hand, my husband, it's not weird, right? Because it's my husband, we go way back, put a ring on it. If I go to my son and I say, my Joey, you know, and hug him, and you do that thing when the violin's playing and we swing around, it's not weird because he's my son, you know. We're tight. He sees me first thing in the morning when my hair is going north, south, east, west, and, you know, he still loves me. You know, I've smelt his morning breath more than I have wanted to, but we still love each other because we're tight like that. We have relationship. We have he is mine and I am his. You know, he has a nightmare. He comes to me, comes to my mummy. Have you ever heard, like, some of you heard those babies and they go, my mummy, not your mummy, you know. I love the way when, you know, think about how David said, you know, someone was on the run, someone was chasing him, trying to kill him, and he goes, my God. He cries out to him, my God. They're intimate, they're close, they're tight. Every time he has a nightmare, he runs to his God. Going to God to find strength is natural when you have an intimate relationship with God. In his most dire moment, in his most time of need, he called out, oh God, my God. He didn't depend on his status. He was already a hero and a celebrity and all of that stuff. He didn't depend on his strength or his past victories. He depended on his God. Because he knew that those things couldn't get him out of the trouble that he was in. Just a couple of weeks ago, my eldest son, Maya, those of you who know him, he likes to dress cool, and, you know, he wakes up in the morning and he does his hair and combs it just right. He has this little jar of gel under the sink in the bathroom and, you know, pulls it out. No one else is allowed to touch it. Does his hair just right, you know, and he walks out. He walks past me and goes to his dad and says, Dad, do I look all right? you're not listening to me, but he loves his hair. His hair is one of his most prized possessions. And just the other day, maybe 3 weeks ago, I took him to the barber that we usually go to because, you know, he needed a trim and he knew exactly what he wanted. Like, we were driving there and I said to him, "Do you know what you're going to say to the guy?" And he goes, "Yep." And he said, "I'm going to get a fade to number one and then I'm going to get it like the trim on my fringe because I, you know," and then, you know, I was like, "Okay, yeah, well, sweet, as long as you know what you want." And so he got out of the car, goes in, and then I go and park the car and then I walk in. And the guy, he's just finished telling the guy, it's a different guy than the one that usually cuts his hair. And so this guy turns on the bzzz thing. There's a name for it. I just didn't do my research properly. And so he goes bzzz, and I go, "Oh, this must be a new technique," because there was no stage on it. And so he goes bzzz, and then he just goes bzzz, like really fast. And then my son's sitting in the chair and he's like. And then, you know, because I'm a Christian, I said, "Excuse me, sir." Okay, maybe I didn't say "excuse me, sir," but I said, "What are you doing?" And he said, "Oh," he said, "he wanted a fade to number one and blah, blah, blah." And I said, "How is that a fade when you've started with number one right here?" And lots of other words came out, and I said to my son, "You know, I was so compassionate to that man, even though I was so upset." And he goes, "Mom, that was not compassion." But hey, that's my son. I'm like, you know, motherly thing. All you mums know what I'm talking about. But I didn't swear, and I didn't abuse him. I just might have gone like this. Because he is a little bit shorter than me. Anyway, he was devastated. I have never seen him cry like that before in my life. And the guy, and like, he had no choice. He had to just do the whole thing. So he did the whole thing, because otherwise he'd have a opposite to a mohawk, right? Stop it. And so, you know, he had to do the whole thing. And then my son was just... he was just so heartbroken. And so he ran to the car. I stayed behind and just prayed a blessing over the barber. And then I left. But then, you know, because I knew, like, I've seen this guy just do his hair hard out every day. Then all of a sudden, it was gone, you know. And I hopped in the car and he had put some, he had taken off his top and was hiding his hair. And he was just crying and crying and crying. And then I said, "Are you okay?" And he goes, "I'm not okay, Mom. I'm so not okay." And he was so upset, crying and crying. And then I say, "Oh, are you? And so I started Googling photos of cool dudes who have that same haircut, you know, like Jamie Foxx, and trying to think of all his cool uncles that have, like, say, "Uncle Ollie's got that haircut," you know, because it's really short. It's still a cool haircut, but it's just not partable and not gelable. And, oh, you know, I was trying to comfort this guy, this boy, and nothing was working. You know, I was showing him Google images. "Look, you like this guy. You like his, you know, he's got a cool style." Yeah. And he was just like crying, crying. And so I just gave up and I was like, "I'm so sorry." Hugging him with this arm and driving with the other arm, driving home. Because we had a whole bunch of stuff we had to do that day. But after that, we were going home. And so when we were nearly home, he was just crying, crying, crying. And then he goes, "Lord, help me to get over this haircut. Please help me." And he was crying, praying to God. And I was just thinking, oh my gosh, I totally didn't think of it. You know, I'm trying to Google, find worldly answers to his pain, because to him, the world is over, right? I mean, that's like horrible. But he cried out to God to help him to get through it. You know, a 10-year-old doesn't really have that much. Well, he doesn't really have that much to worry about in his life. You know, he gets fed every day, clothes get given to him. But that was probably the hardest thing that he had ever come across, right? But he responded in worship, seeking God, searching for God during that hard time. And yes, his update, his hair is growing. You can no longer see his scalp. But, you know, I wonder, you know, how David, when times were tough, he went crying to God and he said, "My God." Do we do that? Can we say that? Can we say, "My God," to God? Can we call him "My God"? Because you can't really call someone "my something" if you don't have a relationship with them, you know? I mean, I just met Bianca this morning. Beautiful lady who's serving in the church, you know? But if I was to go up to her and say, "Bianca, my Bianca, we've just met," she'd probably go, "Hi. Can somebody help me?" You know, because we haven't yet built a relationship, right? You can't really go crawling to someone, calling them yours when then you haven't really built that yet. And so my question for us today is, do we have that with God? Do you have that intimate relationship with God where you can, at any time, morning breath and everything, hair going north, south, east, west and everything, can you go crying to God and say, "My God"? Do you know, have you tasted and have you seen that he is good and that he is the only thing that will satisfy your cravings when times get hard? Verse 8 of that same psalm, when the army was coming to kill David, he said, "I cling to you. Your strong right hand holds me securely." Security comes from a relationship of worship, intimate relationship with God. And he says, "Because of your steadfast love, my lips will praise you." Other versions say, "Because your love is better than life, my lips will praise you." All of the great stuff that happens in life, David had tasted and seen that God's love was better than life itself. In other words, if Saul did catch up to him and kill him, it doesn't matter, because God's love is better than life. He worshipped when his life was on the line. Whereas a lot of us might, when times get hard, will say, "God, because you love me, solve my problems. Because you love me, give me a better life. Give me a better job. I'm in debt. Can you do this and this and this?" Give him our shopping list. But we need to pursue a relationship, not religion. In the wilderness, we should choose to worship God. When you're in the desert, the Bible says that he will make a way in the desert. He will bring streams in the wilderness. Only God can do that. You can worship God in any situation. You can worship him in the way that you parent your children. You can worship God in the way that you do your schoolwork, when you go to class, when you choose to go to class, when your friends are maybe doing something that sounds way more fun than going to class. You can choose to worship God during those times, because worship is not just songs, right? Worship is living in life that honors God extravagantly, extreme submission. Not just, "Oh yeah," but extreme. Extreme people are crazy. I've heard it said that if you want to see what the most important thing in a person's life is, that you should take a look at their bank statement. Ouch. Or take a look at their daily planner. So where is their money going and where is their time going? So pretty much everything that we do can be done as an act of worship. Living a life that honors God. I think of the first time that word worship turns up in the Bible is in the story of Abraham, when God had told Abraham to go sacrifice his son. Totally doesn't make sense, because he had promised Abraham a son, lots of descendants, but finally the son has come and he's like 100 years old. And then God says, "Go and sacrifice that son." totally doesn't make sense. I can't think of a harder situation to be in. And so Abraham takes his son, takes some servants, and then they go to the mountain of Moriah where God had told them to go. And he says to his servants, you guys wait here. My son and I are going to go over there and worship. He planned to kill his son. He planned to sacrifice his son. He planned to obey God, even though his command kind of sounded not like God, kind of sounded like it didn't make sense. He planned to go and obey God. But I find it interesting that he said, we're going over there to worship. And so basically worshiping is just honoring God in everything we do. Honoring him in the movies you decide to watch, the TV programs you decide to watch, the music you decide to listen to. Everything we do, because we are worshippers, right? Whether we choose to or not, everything we do can be an act of worship to our God. And just as I close, I'd like to just talk about how this thing of worship, the fact that we could sing all these songs to God, calling him my God, draw me closer, take me deeper. Who are we, sinful people, to ask that of God, a pure and holy God? Because we didn't initiate worship. Worship was not our idea. It was God's idea. He paid a way so that we could worship him and be in relationship with him and basically have the right to call him my God. He could have destroyed us. He could have just left us alone to rot and live our sinful lives on our own. But he gave his only son to pay the way so that we could be redeemed and forgiven and be his. I love that. I love that. He is my God and I am his. I am his child. Today we can live out a free life knowing that the God of the universe loved us so much that he paid the price so that we wouldn't die but have eternal life. He who was without sin became sin for us so that in him we might be the righteousness of God. And when we recognize who God is and what he has done, worship is our only reasonable, natural response. When you really realize who God is and what he's done for you so that you could have a relationship with him, nothing should come out except worship. That's the only response that makes sense. And so as we close today, I would just like to ask you, can you call God your God? Can you say that? Is there a relationship there? There's a chance for a relationship that was made, an opening that was made to close the gap that sin created in between us and God. And so I'd just like to pray for you, Every Nation Brisbane. I'd just like to pray for you. Is that all right? Like to pray for you that you can become closer to God in this relationship and experience him more in this relationship of worship. And so Father, I just thank you so much for today. I thank you so much for this chance that we've had together just to talk about worship and our relationship with you. Father, I pray just a blessing over this church. Lord, I pray that as they seek to know you more in an intimate relationship with you, Lord, that their worship would come out of their hearts. Lord, I pray, Father, that you would teach us to pursue you instead of just your promises and what you can do for us, Lord. I pray that we would pursue a relationship with you, Lord, and that you would show us and draw closer to us as we draw close to you. Lord, I pray against religion. I pray against just the mundane, repetitive thing of coming to church, reading the Bible, and singing the songs. Lord, I pray for relationships with you that would change this city and change this nation for your glory, Lord, I pray. pray that you would teach us to honor you in all that we do. Lord, I pray that you would teach us as students, those of us who are uni students, those of us who are working, those of us who are parents, stay-at-home moms. Lord, I pray that you would help us to worship and honor you in every single situation of our lives, Lord. During good times, during bad. If you're here and you feel like you don't have that intimacy with God where you can just go crying to him and say, my God, I'd encourage you to come up after the service and we'll have some leaders here that will be available to pray with you. If you'd like to make a change today, change the situation of your relationship with God today. Also, if you're here and you're someone who longs to be more intimate with God, maybe you've read David's Psalm and you just think, man, I want to be closer to God than that. I'd encourage you to come down. We'd love to pray with you. We've got some leaders that will come down and pray with you. Father, I just thank you so much for this time, and I pray your blessing over this church. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you for the encouraging word, Rowena. And just like what she said, you know, if you need prayer or anything, please come to the front and see myself. And we have other great leaders here who will be able to pray with you. I encourage you to listen to the podcast. I got so much out of your word today, especially for your son who to cry out to God during, you know, getting a messed up hairstyle. Man, if that was me, man, the guy touched my hair, man. But anyway, that's me. But none of you guys would do that. I know that for sure. But yeah, so. Come to the front and we'll be more than happy to pray for you. We have refreshments out in the foyer there. Stay around, hang around and, you know, mix and mingle. And yeah, for visitors, if you could just pass your card. I think there's a box out in front where you can just slip your card in there. Otherwise, give them to myself and yeah, we'll go from there. But we'll just close this off and have a good week, everybody. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this word. Man, just ask that this word will just continue to marinate in our spirit and that we're able to chew on it throughout the week. Allow us to apply it, which is the most important thing, Father, to apply your word to our lives. We know we are not perfect and we always fall short of your standards. And we thank you, Lord, for your love and your mercy. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. All right, you're dismissed. Dismissed. Seda.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. Thank you for listening. God bless.